So we're continuing in the sermon series, Did You See What He Just Did? And so this passage this morning, we're looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. So if you have kids, when they were younger, they probably climbed in your bed and kept you awake at different times, right? Well, in our house, we have kids that are a little more squirmy than others. And I have one. I won't name who it is. It is one of the hymns, so not a her. But, you know, he'll come and sit next to you on the couch, and he just won't sit still. And I want to just say, stop. Be still. Right? Be still. And I can't control that, you know. Eventually, I just kick him off the couch. But, yeah. But, you know, It's one of those things where when we look at this passage, we see Jesus' power. You know, he's not just talking to a person and asking them to be still, but he's talking to nature. He's commanding nature, and it listens to him. So let's look at Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. It says, "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So Jesus has been with the crowds, and he's tired, and he wants to leave. So they go out on a boat, right? And they go out on this boat, and he's in the back of the boat, and he falls asleep, and the storm comes. And that's where we are. That's where this story, this portion of Scripture comes in. He is sleeping in the back of the boat when the storm is crashing over the boat. His disciples are freaking out. And I could only, if I put myself in the shoes of somebody that was on that boat, I would probably be puking over the side, right? And so here they are. They're in fear that they're going to drown in this storm. And Jesus, where is he? He's asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat. Right? And you know, they go to the right person with their problem, and you know, but they're asking the wrong questions. They went back and they woke him up and they said, "Don't you even care that we're about to die? You know, why don't you wake up and go where we are and fear just like we are? You know, don't you care? Because if you cared, you'd be right there with us saying, 'What's going to happen? We're about to die.' And instead, you're asleep." You know, are they thinking that he's going to help them when they go and wake him up? Probably not. You know, he rebukes them for that in a little bit later in the passage. But what did Jesus do? He very calmly woke up and said to the wind and to the waves, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And what happened? It did what he said. It stopped. The storm stopped. The waves stopped crashing over the boat. It said a calm came into the picture. And so this kind of brings us to this topic of faith versus fear. And when I look at this passage, when I look at what Jesus is saying, basically what he's saying is that fear and faith are opposites. They don't intermingle. You know? So fear, you could say, is a lack of faith, while faith is the knowledge that God is God and he can do anything. And so, you know, here they are. They're afraid because the waves are crashing over the boat. They aren't really understanding who Jesus is. So they didn't go to him and say, hey, Jesus, you could probably snap your fingers and get this over with. They didn't get on their knees and say, God the Father, please help us. No, they were afraid. They were afraid. And they more than likely wanted Jesus to just wake up and show some compassion. You know? Who could sleep through that? You know, Clark could probably sleep through a tornado. But, you know, here's Jesus asleep as they are thinking they're going to die. And then they go to this thought, who is this? Did you see what he just did? And then they said they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. So they went from being afraid of the water and the waves crashing over the boat to the point where they understand that Jesus has power that they never knew, and they were afraid of him. No. So what is the answer to who is he? Who is this man? In Mark chapter 2, Jesus has the authority to forgive. In verse 10 it says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. It also says in Mark, so we're leading up to the passage we were today, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, so the man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath. Jesus also has authority in teaching. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, it says, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And then it also says Jesus has authority in the spiritual realm over demons. In Mark chapter 1, verse 27, it says, and they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Jesus has already shown to them his power and his nature, who he is. Right? Who has the authority to forgive? God. Who commands the demons? God. Who is the Lord of the Sabbath? God is the Lord of the Sabbath. And who teaches with the authority of God the Father? The Son of Man, the Son of God. God in the flesh, Jesus. And this is the man that was asleep in the back of the boat. They didn't know that, though. Right? For whatever reason, the disciples, till the very end of Jesus' ministry, had no clue who he was. They lived with the man. They broke bread with him. They spent time with him. And it wasn't until he rose from the grave that they started getting an understanding, a complete understanding of who he was. He was a powerful, powerful man. But the reason he had that power was because he was divine. He was divine. So yeah, if you stand before God and you recognize his power, if you recognize his awesomeness, it's very easy to feel afraid. It's very easy to feel afraid. But if you were there and you experienced what just happened, would there not be comfort in knowing that the man that was traveling with you has even power over nature? And power over everything that might come against you and hurt you and afflict you. You know, in our life, in our time, I know this question comes up very often. If God is a powerful and loving and caring God, why does bad stuff happen? And people when they ask that question, they oftentimes jump to the wrong conclusions. He has power, but he doesn't care. You know, the disciples said, don't you even care? Don't you even care that we're about to drown? And so, you know, you could jump to the conclusion that he has unlimited power, but he has just set things in motion and taken a back seat and said, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. Or you can jump to the conclusion that he really isn't as powerful as they make him out to be in Scripture, which is a wrong perception as well. But then the worst, I think, decision you could make is to say that, you know, these things, these bad things are happening. You know, that's just evidence that he doesn't exist. How are we supposed to understand the purposes of the one true God with our finite brains? That's why we talk about faith. You know, the disciples had faith, but they allowed their fear to overcome it. They knew that God was there. They knew they had hints that Jesus was a man of God. They might not have known his divine nature. But they had faith that God was using Jesus in that time. I've said this before, but beyond the knowledge of the smartest person on the planet is the unknown. It's the unknown. How arrogant would we be if we came to the end of our knowledge and said, there is nothing beyond that? And from that conclusion say, there can't be a God because I can't wrap my brain around it. Rather, we need to stand in awe of the God that created everything and can command nature. Fear can cause us to react in crazy ways. And we can say, okay, the awesomeness of the universe makes me feel so small, so the best thing that I can do is just try to defend myself and not believe in a creator that can do that job better than me. We may be drowning in hurt. We may be drowning in sorrow. We may be drowning in pain or sickness. There's an unending list of things that can cause us to be afraid. And even though the disciples may have been a little misguided in going to talk to Jesus, they did go to Jesus, the correct source. And Jesus is waiting for us in our fear to call on his name. He's not far away. He's not a distant God. In fact, you know, God said he was going to send a counselor for us. If we are in Christ, if we know who God is, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and he's right there with us in the mess that we call our own life. He's not far off. You know, he's waiting for us to call on him. Part of me wants to think that Jesus was waiting for his disciples to come and say, hey, we need your help. We can hear from God if we're turning to him. If we're digging into his word, we can hear from him. If we're relying on him to walk with us, we can hear from him. From that day on, where do you think the disciples turned when things got tough? Did they slip up and make mistakes? Yes. I bet, you know, to the very end of their life, sometimes they let fear overcome their faith. But do you think they had any doubt that Jesus was able to help them after that day? They may not have completely known his full nature, but they were able to see that this man has power. God in his scriptures, God in his intervention in the life of the people that he called his own, gave us glimpses of what life will be when Christ returns. He has power over nature. Everything's going to be made new. All things will be made new. He has power over the enemy. It's said that he casts out demons, but he has even more power over the enemy, and we'll look a little bit more into that. He has power to heal. He has power to save and to redeem, and that's the beauty of the gospel. We've talked about how we are sinners. Scripture will say, we're filthy rags. Are we worthy in the eyes of God? No. But God fixed that. He fixed that through the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, when we look at the Old Testament, we look at, and I know I keep going over these concepts over and over and over again, but when we look at the Old Testament, we see that the people, in order to have salvation, in order to have forgiveness, they had to go to the temple and make sacrifices, blood sacrifices, because sin cannot be forgiven without the shedding of blood. But it was a never-ending process. You could never know that you had done it enough to be completely clean until God sent his Son into the world. And what do we know about Christ? Well, he was pure. He was holy. He was without sin, without blemish. And he went to the cross. And what did he do on the cross? He shed his blood. He died so that that blood would be applied to all those who place their faith in him. So it's important to note, if you have not placed your faith in Christ, do it. Do it. Don't wait. Because that blood applied to you, it washes you clean so that when you stand before God, does he see filthy rags? No. He sees a treasured son or daughter. So the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, the sacrifice that God made for us through his Son's death on the cross, was the sacrifice that completed the sacrificial system. That meant that we don't ever have to go to the temple again and shed blood to forgive us of our sins, because the most pure and holy blood was shed for us through Jesus Christ. The storm of sin, the storm of death, the storm of all the things that afflict us in life was rushing over us, and we were crying out, God, save us. And what did he do? He saved us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there is no other hope in this world for salvation except through him. He has the power through that sacrifice that he made for us to defeat Satan. But again, you can't, if you're giving the gospel, you can't leave him in the grave. He rose from the dead, and what did he demonstrate to us through that? That he has even power over death. Though we may die, we know that there is a resurrection. And we will live with God eternally in his presence, at his table. As his son or daughter, literally his son or daughter. You know, hear that. I'm going to beat that drum until y'all get it. And you can tell it to other people. God has adopted you as his son or his daughter through your faith in Jesus Christ. And so when he looks at you, what does he see? He sees Christ in you. He sees Christ in you. Oh, what a glorious day it will be when he returns and all the things that are wrong with this world are gone permanently. There will be no fear. There will be no fear. Our faith that we might struggle with, we might doubt at times, our faith will be completely confirmed. So did you see what he did stories fill your mind and heart when you feel fear creeping into your life? is if you recognize that that powerful God that could calm the storm loves you. He can still your heart. He can bring peace. He can bring comfort. Allow Christ and the love that He has shown you bring you peace in the turmoil of a world that would try to swallow you up. You know, He'll keep your head above water if you'll just lean into Him and know that He loves you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, You have accomplished much for us. And we know that each and every one of us, you know, doubt. We doubt that You are there. But You show up every time. We may not completely understand Your purposes, but we do understand Your love. Your love is unimaginable, but it is explained completely in the fact that You would not even spare Your own Son to bring us salvation. So God, let us rest in the truth that You are powerful, yet You care for each of us individually and together as Your people. Bring peace, bring calm, bring still into our lives. And then God, we can't wait for the day when You return and You make everything that's bent and broken untrue. What a glorious day that'll be. And we thank You that that promise is a promise You will keep, because You are faithful. Even when we are faithless, You are faithful. So we give You glory and honor and praise today, because You are the only true object worthy of our worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.